Amen. Thank you, Kevin and Sandy. Thank you, Gladys and Joanna. I thought for a minute there, Gladys had four hands. You do. Yeah, many moms probably feel like that, don't you? You feel like, or you wish you had four hands, right? Or maybe more. Turn to your Bibles, if you will, this morning to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the text that Kevin just read from Matthew chapter 1. You should have received an outline in your bulletin. If you did not, if you'll raise your hand in the air, one of our ushers will get that to you here in just a moment. I want you to imagine that you are a young male, okay? That you are a young man. Now, for some of you, that will be easier than others, all right? And that's understandable. But I want you to imagine for a minute that you are a young man engaged to be married. Now, let me help you out here. If you're having a little hard time maybe putting yourself in costume and everything, you know, take your hat, put it on backwards, all right? I can't really do this very well, but, you know, let your pants ride a little low, all right? And I would untuck my shirt, too, but anyway, you kind of get the idea. Just imagine that you are a young man and you are engaged to be married. Listen, you have popped the question and she said yes. You are excited, amen? You are excited, you are pumped, you've gotten the ring, and she's got it on her finger, that bling bling, and you are excited, you are pumped about getting married. You're making plans for the wedding. She's getting everything together. You're actually working on the honeymoon, getting the reservations done, getting everything set up. And then all of a sudden, you get some devastating news. You find out that your fiance is pregnant. And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because you have remained pure before the Lord, that you are not the father. So many things start running through your mind. How could this happen? How could she do this to me? I thought we were in love. What in the world am I going to do now? You know, that's very similar to the situation Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, found himself in. Look again at Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Verse 18 sets the scene, and that is the scene 2,000 years ago that it paints for us. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, so they were engaged. But you know what? And you've heard this before. The betrothal was actually much more binding than engagement is today. Legally, in order for them to become unbetrothed, they would have to get a divorce. Okay, so they were engaged, as we think today, but more than that, it was really legally binding, except for the fact, as it says next, Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together. So it was like an engagement. They had not began living together. They had not consummated their marriage. And during that time, it says, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. My friends, you know, normally when we read the Christmas story and familiar passages like this, I don't believe we think enough about the reality of what these real people. Did you know Joseph was a real person? He was a real person, you know. He wasn't just a figure in a manger scene, right? He was a real person who really lived. I don't believe we think enough about the reality of what these real people, normal people just like us, went through. The things that went through their mind, the feelings that they had. Just think about what Joseph, the range of emotions he had to be going through as he found out this news and the choices they were faced with making. There are times in life when all of us are faced with difficult decisions and difficult situations. Situations come at us from all sides, don't they? Often unforeseen, often out of left field somewhere, right? And often totally out of our control. And we must decide, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? How are we going to respond? Are we going to fly off the handle? Are we going to do something that we later regret? Or are we going to panic? Are we going to worry and fret and become filled with anxiety and lose sleep and maybe even hair over it, right? Or are we going to trust that God is in control? Amen? That God is in control, that He will help us through the difficult situation that we may find ourselves in, and that He's going to work all things out for our good and His glory in the end. Friends, here's the reality. Newsflash, we cannot control the circumstances of our life. Amen? We cannot control the circumstances of our life. We can only control how we act in them and how we respond to them. That's one of the hardest truths, I believe, for us to understand and for us to accept in our lives. But you know what? I believe it's one of the most crucial for us to accept if we're going to become the people that God wants us to be. Amen? We must understand that we can't control the circumstances in our lives. All we can control is how we act in them and how we respond to them. You know, I believe Joseph is one of the best examples in all of Scripture of someone who lived out this truth. I believe that looking at Joseph, we can learn some valuable lessons by looking at him as a real person and not just a figurine in a manger scene. Amen? I believe we can look and see how he handled the circumstances he was in, and I believe we can learn something from that. So this morning, I want to ask you three questions. Questions that I believe Joseph had to answer. I believe questions and things that Joseph had to settle in his heart in order to respond in the way he did in our text this morning. So number one, take your outline if you will. Number one is this. Are you willing to honor God in your life, even when things don't go your way? Are you willing to honor God even in the midst of crazy circumstances in your life, when things don't go as your way or how you had planned? Friends, you know, Joseph found himself in quite a predicament, right? His wife-to-be was pregnant with a child that was not his. What was he going to do? Look at verse 19. We see a little bit about what was going on and how he responded. Verse 19 says, then Joseph, her husband, showing how serious betrothal was, he has already called her husband. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, an upright man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now, I want you to just think about what was going through Joseph's mind. Here's the debate that must have been going on in Joseph's mind as he found out the news that Mary was pregnant. How could he go through with the marriage? How could he go through with the marriage to Mary knowing that this child that she was carrying was not his? And therefore, as anyone would naturally assume, the only human assumption you could come to was that she had had relations with another man. How could he go through with marrying her? On one hand, and on the other hand, the dilemma he had was this. He loved Mary. He cared deeply for her. He cared deeply about her. He couldn't believe she would do such a thing. He could not imagine having her shamed publicly, much less what the law stated was what? Have her stoned. To have her stoned. He could not imagine that happening. That was his dilemma. How could he be both moral and uphold God's law and that standard, and at the same time remain loving and compassionate to Mary? That kind of reminds me of another dilemma, doesn't it? That our Lord settled on the cross. Well, friends, the answer Joseph came to was this, and we see it in verse 19, was he decided to put her away secretly or to divorce her secretly. Right? When you think about it, and when you consider the magnitude of the news that came to Joseph, you know, he could have responded in a much different way, couldn't he? He could have flown off the handle. He could have lost his cool. How many of you would have lost your cool, right? I probably would have, amen, you know, in that situation. He could have lost his cool. He could have acted rashly. He could have done something that he later regretted. He could have tried to control the circumstances, manipulate the situation and everything, but he didn't. He didn't. Instead, what Joseph did was he sought a way to do the right thing. First, he sought what the right thing was, amen? He took his time. He didn't act rashly. He thought about it. He was thinking through, what does God want me to do in this situation? And he sought to do the right thing by God and the right thing by Mary. And therefore, I believe he honored God in a difficult situation. How was he able to do that, though? You know, I think extremely hard in the flesh, amen? Extremely hard. What enabled him to honor God when I'm sure he didn't feel like it? What enabled him to do the right thing in a difficult situation? Well, friends, here's what I believe it was. And I believe if we can get this down, it will revolutionize how we live our life as a believer. I believe the reason Joseph was able to respond in that way, friends, was because he trusted in the sovereignty of God in his life. He trusted in the sovereignty of God. He trusted that God was in control. He trusted that no matter what happened to him, it had not surprised God. Amen? In fact, at that time, unbeknownst to him, God was driving it all. Amen? And sometimes the things that happen to us in our life, we say, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? God, I don't understand, blah, 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 blah. Here's what we need to do. We just need to trust that God is in control. Amen? Listen, God didn't just wake up this morning and find that out, okay? He already knew. He already knew. Nothing has slipped by him, friends. And because Joseph trusted in God's sovereignty, here's what he could do. He could simply focus on doing what was right and leave the rest into God's hands. Too many times we're trying to control situations, aren't we? We're trying to manipulate situations. We're trying to, you know, here's what we need to focus on. Just focus on doing what is right. Focus on honoring God in whatever the situation is, and let God take care of the rest. Amen? What do you do when things don't go your way? Are you committed to honoring God with your attitudes and with your actions and how you respond? Or do you try to? Are you one of those that tries to control the situation, tries to manipulate the situation to work out the way you want it to work out? You know, we do that sometimes. We're going to find out maybe that wasn't really the way we wanted it to turn out. Amen? We may have tried to take God's role in a situation, and it doesn't turn out the way we want it to after all. Friends, do you let the principles of God's word guide you no matter what the circumstances are in your life, no matter what the situation is, whether things seem to be going for you or against you? You know, it's a lot easier to trust God and just to put it on his hands when everything's going our way, isn't it? You know, it's when circumstances like what Joseph experienced, it's when life throws us a curveball, when we get setbacks in life, that's the hard time. That's when it's hard to honor God in our attitude, in our spirit, and in our actions. Friends, that's why we need to be walking in the Spirit of God. Amen? We need to let the Spirit of God control us. Let the Spirit of God lead us and guide us and direct us, friends. And it really only happens when we trust God and God's sovereignty. When we trust in his providential hand, friends, we can worry about and focus on only honoring God in our lives. It's the most important thing. Amen? Amen. Once we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, listen, stop trying to control the circumstances and just honor God in everything you do. Amen? Number two, second question I believe that we need to settle in our heart, I believe Joseph had to settle in his heart, is this, friends: are you willing to submit to God's plans even when they contradict your own? Are you willing to submit to God's plans, God's will, God's direction for your life, even when it's not what you want to do? You know, I'm sure Joseph had plans for his life. I'm sure Joseph had plans for his and Mary's life. And you know what? They probably didn't include having a baby to raise right off from the get-go. Amen? You know, think about it. We know Joseph was a carpenter. You know, I'm sure Joseph had plans. He's, you know, let's get married. You know, we'll build a little house. We'll buy a brand new donkey. We'll, you know, we'll settle out in the country somewhere. We'll save up a little money. And then we'll start a family. Well, guess what? Sometimes God has different plans than our plans. Amen? Sometimes God's plans are not our plans. And there's no telling what Joseph's plans included, but God's plans for him were a little bit different. Look at verse 20. Verse 20, Joseph gets a visit. And it tells us here, and I think this is just, you know, these little things that sometimes we just gloss over. It says, but while he thought about these things. So I want you to notice that what happens next happens in a dream. So Joseph was contemplating all these things while he was laying in bed and he fell asleep. Okay? While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying this, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. Now, let's stop there for just a moment because the angel has said something vitally important, something to get Joseph's attention. He says, Joseph, son of David. Now, if you haven't looked there at the beginning part of Matthew chapter 1 yet, Joseph's father's name was not David, right? His father's name was not David. In fact, the angel here is making a reference, as any Jew would have known. All Jews knew the fact that the Messiah was to come through the line, the lineage, and the house of David, of which Joseph came as well. So the angel here gets Joseph's attention. Joseph, son of David. Here's the significance of why God has chosen you. It's because you are the house and lineage of David. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, you know, Mary had questions about that, didn't she? You know, and I'm sure Joseph did as well. You know, as he was dreaming there, you know, all kind of thoughts going through his mind as well, probably. But one of them had to be, whew, right? You know? I mean, the alternative was that she had been unfaithful to him. So here, as he hears that, what tremendous news it must have been for him. Verse 21 says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I want you to think about this for just a minute. As Joseph was hearing this news, and Joseph was hearing what the angel, as he was dreaming and just taking in what the angel was saying to him, you know, this was a dream. This was not an in-person visit. You know, so there in verse 24 when it says Joseph was startled awake, you know, I wonder how long it took Joseph. Evidently not very long, as the way we read in verse 24. But Joseph had to decide, was this message really from God, or was that just bad heartburn, you know? He had to decide, you know, was this message really from God? And really, he knew this was from God. He determined very quickly that this was of God. And I believe, probably because his life was already submitted into the Lord's hands, Joseph submitted his will over to the Lord's will. Amen? Here's the problem we have in our lives. Many times we fight God on that, don't we? We fight God on that. We fight God on submitting to his will in our life. You know, you say, well, of course Joseph could submit to this. It was all great news. Well, listen, you know, we think of it as great news, but I believe this was actually a bigger deal than we think. Think about it for just a minute. What would submitting to God mean for Joseph? Submitting to God would mean that Joseph would have to embrace this child whom he knew was not his own. He knew he had not fathered. He would have to embrace this child as his own. In other words, Joseph was agreeing to adopt Jesus as his own. All in the matter of a dream and waking up from that. Now, I think that provides some interesting relationships going on in heaven. Amen? You know? When you really think about it, you know, Joseph was a just man, an upright man. Every indication was that he was a believer in the Messiah. That's why I believe God allowed Jesus to come into that home. So Joseph adopted Jesus, but in reality, Jesus adopted Joseph. Amen? Wow, that's pretty cool, I think. That's just awesome, though. Joseph had to decide, you know what? What are other people going to think? What is this going to mean for my life? He didn't care. He just submitted to God's will, God's plans in his life. You know, many times we have our own plans and our own ideas about how we want our life to turn out, don't we? We want to do what we want to do, and we want to do it where we want to do it, and we want to do it how we want to do it. We think we have life all figured out. But if you haven't lived long enough to realize this, God's plans most often are different. Amen? God's plans are almost always different. But here's the deal. God's plans are infinitely better than we can ever imagine. God's plans are infinitely better than we can ever imagine. So then, why is it that instead of saying yes to what God wants for our life, oftentimes what we do is run the other way? Amen? We run the other way. Is it because we're afraid of what God might ask us to do? Is it because maybe we're afraid we won't be able to do it? Is it because maybe we think we'll miss out on some other fun in life if we follow God's plans? Francis Thompson was a 19th century British poet. He wrote a poem that was entitled The Hound of Heaven. I don't know if you ever heard of that this poem before, but in this poem, Francis Thompson talks about his own life, and he talks about how he ran from God for a long time. He says, I fled him. Down the nights and down the days, I hid from him, and under running laughter, I sped from those strong feet that followed after me. You know, I don't know about you, but if you've run from God, God just stays on our trail, doesn't he? He's like a bloodhound. Francis Thompson goes on to write about the unrelenting love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, it pursued him with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed and majestic urgency. In other words, as he ran from God, God was on his trail like a bloodhound. Friends, God is pursuing us. God is on our trail. He is after us. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. Amen? John Stott uses the same analogy in an autobiography of his. He says, Jesus Christ himself pursued me relentlessly, even when I was running away from him, trying to go my own way. And if it were not for the gracious pursuit of the Hound of Heaven, I would today be on this scrap heap of wasted and discarded lives. Man, I think most all of us could say the same thing. Amen? Friends, it never pays to run from God. Whether God is calling you to do something, or whether God is calling you to go somewhere, or whether God is calling you to give up something or to sacrifice something, your time, your talent, your resources for his kingdom and for his cause, friends, I want to encourage you, say yes to him. Amen? Say yes to him and what he wants for your life. Friends, here's what it means. It means, here's why we can say yes to him. We can say yes to him if we are trusting that he knows what is best. Amen? See, the problem is we doubt that God has our best interest at heart. We think, oh yeah, God wants me to live godly, but I don't know if that's really what I want, or I don't know what that's best for me. We just need to swallow hook, line, and sinker, friends, the fact that God loves you. God has your ultimate best interests at heart. And if we believe that, then it really doesn't take a lot to just follow him. Amen? To submit to his will, submit to his plans instead of our plans. Amen? Because, friends, it really comes down to one thing, and this kind of leads us right into the last question. Here's what it comes down to. Here's what it takes to submit to God's plans. Are you willing to obey God no matter the consequences? Are you willing to obey God and follow him in your life no matter the consequences? Look at Joseph. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 says, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Now, it doesn't say he continued thinking about things. He doesn't say he pondered it a lot longer. The implication here is that Joseph got up. God had spoke to him. He knew the direction that he was going to go. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to say, you know, okay, am I going to follow God in my life? Am I going to allow God to do this? Or am I going to run from God? You know, of course, we think about Jonah when we're thinking about running from God, right? Friends, and if God has his hand on your life, you can't run from him. Amen? You can't run from him. So Joseph awoke. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Mary remained a virgin till Jesus was born. And Joseph then, it says, called his name Jesus. Joseph believed what the angel told him in the dream and obeyed God by taking Mary's. We don't know, you know, it almost gives us the implication that Joseph moved up the date of the wedding, right? That he was like, okay, let's do this, you know. Maybe it was just they finished plans and they had the wedding and the ceremony and so forth. But Joseph was willing to take with that whatever else came with it. Here's what obeying God meant for Joseph. It meant no matter what people thought, no matter what his family thought, no matter what other people thought. Because here's the deal, friends. People could do the math. Amen? You know, you can do the math. 9 months. You can figure, you know. It's very possible that Mary was showing by now, you know. Would his family really believe this crazy story? Yeah, right, Joseph. It was the Holy Spirit. Sure, we believe you. Or would they think that Joseph and Mary had sinned before God? Friends, Joseph was risking great ridicule and embarrassment and possibly even a terrible stigma in the community by taking Mary as his wife. But guess what? He did it anyway. He did it anyway. He followed the Lord. Joseph was willing to believe God. He was willing to submit to God's plans, and he was willing to obey God and trust that God would work out all the details, all the circumstances in his timing and in his way. The question for us is this: how about us? Friends, will we, like Joseph, trust and obey God no matter the circumstances? No matter the situation, no matter the consequences, what may come? You know, too many times we weigh our options, don't we? We say, well, if I do this, then I may have some bad consequences, so I don't know that I'm going to follow through. Listen, we need to just go back to point number one, right? We just need to worry about honoring God and know that if we honor God in our life, then whatever consequences come, God's going to take care of it. Amen? You know, you think about Daniel and his three friends. You know, what did they worry about? They just worried about honoring God. And God took care of them in the end. Amen? Friends, God has a way of orchestrating the circumstances of our life, of taking the good things and the bad, of taking our good choices, and let me even say this, okay? Our bad choices, our boneheaded mistakes, the stupid things that we do. Because many a times we're in bad circumstances and situations because of choices we've made, amen? You know, we step into stupid, amen? We step into stupid. Here's the deal. God can take stupid and make it look awesome if we'll just submit it over to him. If we'll trust in his sovereignty. If we'll trust in his leading and his hand in our lives. It will allow us to focus on simply honoring him, submitting to him, and being obedient to what he calls us to do. Late July 2002, 9 Pennsylvania miners were trapped in the Quay Creek mine. They'd not been heard from in 2 days. When 50 million gallons of water flooded the mine shaft, rescuers lowered a 6-inch air pipe into their chamber to keep them alive. When they did this, at first, the miners responded by banging on the pipe, but then it became silent. Everybody began to worry. Hope began to grow when rescuers began drilling through the equivalent of 20 stories of granite with a massive diamond-tipped bit. People were anticipating them being able to rescue these miners. However, hope faded when the bit suddenly broke only a third of the way down. They said, how in the world could this happen? If we could have just gotten to them, we could have rescued them. Instead, for 18 hours, drilling stopped while shattered pieces of the broken bit were retrieved and a new bit was installed. That unforeseen setback was seen as a tragic turn of events, and what little hope they had to rescue the miners seemed to evaporate. However, in actuality, as it turned out, the broken bit actually proved to be beneficial to their rescue efforts. And after over 3 days underground, the 9 miners were freed. I want you to listen to what the Pennsylvania governor said about this. He later told the media that the time lost in repairing the snap drill, when they thought all hope was lost, when they thought they weren't going to be able to rescue them and reach them, he said that time lost seemed in retrospect like providential intervention. The reason, he said, was that the 18-hour interruption allowed water to be pumped out of the shaft to make the eventual rescue actually possible. On the reverse, if the shaft had actually penetrated when they'd originally started drilling, the drillers probably would have encountered only water and not the miners, and not been able to get to the miners. What seemed at the time like a terrible setback turned out to actually be the key to a successful rescue effort. Friends, here's what we need to understand and we need to trust. In a similar type way, God takes the setbacks in our life and he can use them and will use them for our good and our glory if we submit to him. Amen? Friends, the question is this: how will we respond when life throws that stuff at us? You know, we have a choice. When life throws something at us, we have a choice. We can either turn to God or we can turn away from God, right? The devil wants to use those difficult times in our life, those tragic times, those setbacks in our life. The devil wants to use those to drive a wedge between us and God. God wants us to draw close to him in those times. God's standing there with his arms open wide, just like the prodigal son's father, ready for us to run to him. Amen? Many a times we do the exact opposite and we run away from him. Here's a question I just want to ask you. What are you afraid of? What are you concerned of? Why would you not just trust in God's sovereignty and his direction and follow his leading in your life? You know, we're here at Christmas time. We celebrate Christ's birth. Friends, God broke into history in order to redeem us and to give us a relationship with him. He knows what's best for our life. He knows what is best for us. Friends, I just want to encourage you, wherever you are in your life, maybe today you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you haven't told anybody else. And maybe it's not even circumstances. Maybe it's a spiritual dry time in your life, a wilderness time in your life. Friends, would you just simply trust in the Lord? Draw close to him. Allow him to lead you and guide you and direct your every step. Maybe you've been through some difficult things in your life and you've had a hard time getting over that. Yeah, you've moved on, but it just continues to still bug you and come back to you over and over again. Friends, would you today just once and for all realize, understand, and trust and say, you know what, God, I don't understand why it happened, and I may never understand why it happened and why I've had to go through that. But you know what, God? Here's what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to focus on honoring you in the midst of this. I'm going to seek on in responding in a way that is seeking you and running to you instead of away from you. Friends, Jesus came so that he came to us so that we could come to him. Amen? What better time? Just bring yourself into a closer, allow God to bring you into a closer relationship with him. I'm going to ask our praise team to come on forward and just ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. I just want to, what's God saying to you this morning?